Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a long period of time, we are studying together from the prison epistles written by Paul by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, these prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon, are one part of the New Testament. And it's convenient to study these books in sections like this. We study the travel epistles, we study the prison epistles, the general epistles, we study the Gospels and the book of Acts together. And so each section of the New Testament has a specific purpose, and they teach us certain things. Each section will teach us certain things. And so we've chosen to study these four prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. And over a period of a number of lessons, we have been going through the book of Ephesians very slowly and very carefully. And perhaps even in this lesson, I can finish this book, but perhaps not. It may take another lesson besides this one. But we have been studying the various parts, and we noted, as we have been studying this book, that it divides into several different parts. First of all, the theme of the book is the true salvation of God. And then the book divides between the foundations of true salvation and then the responsibilities. And there is a very simple division there. What are the foundations? The foundations are built, of course, upon the Lord Jesus Christ. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus the Lord, and so forth. So the foundations belong to the Lord, and then our relationship with Him is also discussed. And then also we come into the second section, the responsibilities of belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have pointed out that many people do not like the idea of the Christian life as a responsibility, but it is. God has chosen in leaving us in this world after we trusted the Lord Jesus as our Savior. God has chosen to use us in this world as examples of the Lord Jesus and manifesting the Lord Jesus to others. The Apostle Paul had this to say in Philippians chapter 1, which we'll study later. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing will I be ashamed, but that now as always, and then this phrase, Christ shall be manifested in my body, whether by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So we have a purpose in living in this world. And this purpose in living in this world carries with it responsibility. Now, these are not a heavy burden on us. Some people treat them like this, but they're not. It is a joy to belong to Jesus and to have everything in Him, but it carries with it responsibilities. We've gone through a number of these responsibilities, and the one that we're considering in this lesson is the spiritual battles that we fight in true salvation. The responsibility, in other words, of standing up and fighting the spiritual battles of life. And this is a very important responsibility. We discussed before the family responsibility, the workplace responsibility, and so forth. But now we come to this combat between the Christian and the devil, by the Holy Spirit, of course. The devil is continually seeking to distract us and to tear us down and to destroy in us every bit of our spirituality. But we can always have victory by the Holy Spirit if we're willing to fight the battle. So as we live in this world, we will always be tempted and opposed by Satan. Satan is a very, very clever enemy. We will always be tempted and opposed by him. No matter how long we live in this world, no matter how spiritual we might be, no matter how much we might grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, we will always be tempted and opposed. So strong decisions on our part and strong measures must be adopted if we're going to be ones who will defeat Satan and destroy his influence in our lives and also resist his temptations, because there are strong decisions we have to make. We have to decide. We're going to depend upon God. The Holy Spirit is going to empower us to resist Satan. We're going to take upon us, in this case, the armor of God. I want to read now from Ephesians chapter 6, and I want to begin reading with verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles or the tricks of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then he talks about the parts of the armor. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you will be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now we're going to just take, in a very brief way, these parts of the armor of God. Sometimes children in children's programs portray these, and this is a very important lesson for children as well. First of all, the first part of the armor is truth. This phrase has to do with the complete and exclusive adherence to the book, the Bible, and also the following of that body of truth. So first of all, the source of our truth is the Bible itself. This will be spoken of a little bit later when he talks about the Word of God, taking on the Word of God itself. But here he gives in a general way that we are to put on the truth. We're to follow the Word of God itself. The Bible is our only guide. People knock on your door. They have other books they want to sell you. These books are false books. They are the books of false teachers. You don't want to listen to these people. You must shut your door against them. Don't even let these people into your house, because they're trying to lead you astray, saying that God has given their leaders some new revelations. There are no new revelations. We have the truth of the Word of God itself. This is in verse 14 of chapter 6. And then also, we find that the second part of the armor is righteousness. This means separation from sin and the realm of Satan and sinful people unto a holy and a God-pleasing life. Now, this is taught in many passages of Scripture, and I don't want to go into these in this lesson, but I want to simply refer to them. For instance, Romans chapter 6. Some have the idea that they could continue in sin simply because they received so much of God's grace, and if they continued in sin, grace would simply take care of everything. And of course, they're forbidden in Romans 6. Now they're to live separated lives unto holiness, separate from the sins of the world. And so this is separation unto holiness before God. And then also, he talks about the preparation of the gospel of peace. This is also very important. We ourselves are affected and fully changed as the gospel has come into our lives through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we also experience in our lives all that the coming of this saving relationship with the Lord is meant to bring to us. And in this case, we have the gospel of peace. Now, this can be interpreted in various ways. First of all, we have peace with God, and then in our daily Christian lives, we can have the peace of God. This is taught in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Peace with God is taught in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. But we also have the gospel of peace, the fact that we're to offer this gospel to as many different people as possible. Some go as missionaries to far countries to share it with people of other cultures, other languages. I was given the privilege of doing this in the Philippines for 11 years, and then 30 years in Hong Kong, and then in retirement, so-called, coming back 6 to 7 months a year and still sharing this gospel of peace. In other words, the people of the world need this gospel of peace. They're lost in sin, and they need the gospel of peace. And then we also have the shield of faith. This means, first of all, we've come into saving relationship with the Lord Jesus by faith, but it also means that we live our Christian lives by faith. We walk daily by faith. And so this shield of faith means that we are completely trusting in God. We're completely trusting in the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We're completely trusting in our eternal salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're continually trusting God daily in our lives to direct us, to keep us, to provide for every need. And the Christian is very often tested in this manner because they find their faith is being tested. But by the grace of God, we have strong faith to follow the Lord with all our hearts. And then he talks about the helmet of salvation. And what does this phrase mean? Eternally, we're saved through our relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, our lives stand for all that the Lord himself means to us and the changes that his salvation has brought to our lives. In other words, we're manifesting our salvation experience. We're sharing this salvation experience by the way we live and also by the testimony we give with others. I believe this perhaps is the best application of the phrase, the helmet of salvation, that we're sharing this salvation with other people and they can see it worn in our lives. We're not literally wearing it as a sign, but they can see it in our lives that we have salvation. We're proclaiming the salvation of God. So he speaks of this as the helmet of salvation. It would be prominently displayed, the helmet would be. And in a spiritual sense, we also have the helmet of salvation if we're truly dedicated to the Lord and willing to completely live for him. And then he speaks of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, we've talked about the truth before, but now we're holding forth the Word of God. We're not just following the Word of God and believing the Word of God in salvation itself and in the Christian life, but now we're holding forth. It's like the sword of the Spirit. And I want to emphasize again, whether we're witnessing, whether we're trying to correct somebody who may have gone astray, however we're going to be working in our lives with other people, we are using the Word of God. If you want to show somebody, even a child in your family, or if you want to show somebody, a neighbor, a friend, a workmate, a schoolmate, whoever, you use the Word of God. Because the Word of God carries with it authority. It carries with it the blessing of God himself. And the Holy Spirit will take the Word of God and use it in the lives of people. I've often found when I travel on a plane, for instance, that I just need to leave at least one verse of Scripture with my seatmate. I've witnessed to him. I've tried to win him to the Lord. Perhaps he has not accepted the Lord. But I leave one important verse with him, for instance, about salvation. For instance, John chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And even one verse the Spirit can continue to use in his life. So he speaks of the sword of the Spirit. And finally, he closes this armor of God. In verses 18 to 20, he says, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now he ties this in, of course, in verse 20, with a prayer that they're to offer on his behalf. But I do believe that prayer is part of the armor of God. This is our direct relationship with God when we pray. We come to the Heavenly Father. We come to him lovingly. We come to him with tenderness. We're asking him for his help in our lives. We're thanking, we're praising him, we're exalting him in prayer. There are many things, and I don't want to go into this in this lesson, but there are many things we do in prayer. And so we come to the Heavenly Father and we pray. And this is part of our armor because God is hearing our prayer and he is answering our prayer. The Lord Jesus taught this in John chapter 15, verse 7. If you live in me, or if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. This is our source of our strength. This is a source, as we read the Word of God, as we study the Word of God, of course, that is also a source of strength. But when we pray, God is renewing his love to us in a very special way. He's pouring out his love to us. He's answering our prayer. Not always in the way we want him to, but nevertheless, he is hearing and answering our prayer. So the last part has to do with prayer before God. Now, I want to finish this lesson I want to finish this study of the armor of God. We've taken it very, very briefly. You can study this more deeply yourselves. My prayer for each of you is this. First of all, that you might have found salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. You might really know that you're saved from your sins. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then second, that you might be carrying your full responsibilities as Christians. Even you young people who have trusted the Lord, or you children who have trusted the Lord, begin now to be everything that God wants you to be. Turn your lives over to the Lord and let Him work in you and move in you and use you to represent the Lord Jesus in this world. So whether we be children or young people or adults, we're to live completely for the Lord Jesus. And may this be true in your lives, and may the Lord bless you each one.